Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "We learned that we had to fully concede." Reading one paragraph ending with, "or presently maybe has to be smashed." And we're just going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Joanne L. reading the 12 steps, Claudia C. reading the 12 traditions, Janice P.M. will be reading the text, Robin B. is reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter will be Diane B., and then announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 9th, 2026, Eastern Time meeting is 23,353 or 23353. Today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting reference ID number is 23,355 or 23355. Away preambles. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Joanne.
Good morning. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered, and I'm grateful to be here today. And Stephanie, thank you so much for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Claudia C. from California, compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. There's problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass, and thank you for letting me read.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 30, second full paragraph, beginning with, we learned that we had to fully concede, ending with, or presently maybe has to be smashed. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Janice P.M. to begin reading. Hey, Janice.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning. Pardon me. Good morning to you and good morning to everybody that's listening. My name is Janice P.M. I'm calling from Massachusetts, and I'm such a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. Second paragraph, page 30, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. Short, but a very, very important paragraph of step one. We, who are we? What's this book talking about, we? Well, it's you and I in the present tense that's listening and learning. And it's the people, the pioneers that have already done this. It's their experience. So this whole chapter is more truth about what this disease is that we have that come here. One of the diseases that I have is compulsive overeating. So we're always a student always a student, because this is what this book is teaching me. We learned. Now, how do I learn? I learned from my thinking, right? From my mind. So this is a mind problem, too. Of course, I know. I can acknowledge about the physical problem. That's easy. We first come in and we know certain foods we can't stop, and then we start again. That's easy to learn. However, we had to, and I'm going to add, we still have to every day, fully, not partly, not a little bit, not here and there, maybe not on the weekends, but fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics and for us compulsive overeaters. Well, yeah, I could admit it. I could admit, oh, yeah, I know I'm a compulsive overeater. You can tell just by looking at me, my weight. How did I get to that weight? But there's everything after the but. I could acknowledge this and admit it, but I couldn't concede. Maybe mentally. Oh, no, I don't have a mental illness. Oh, I can manage my life. See, I didn't know I had physical, mental, and a spiritual malady. I was never taught that. I mean, and if it was at the meetings, I didn't grasp that. It took me a long time. And this is the first step. This is our foundational step. If I don't get this step, if I think for 1 minute that which I did for many minutes, I'm going to try this. I'm pretty good at planning and doing this and control, but I couldn't do this. I was powerless. So this is what this paragraph says. I have to surrender to my powerlessness. Okay? That's the very first step. Surrender, Janice, to your powerlessness every day, not just once and you're all done. Oh, I got this now, because that's how I used to think. You know, I never knew the real truth. I had delusion. I had illusion. I had obsessions for a long time that I didn't want this disease. Okay, thank you very much. I wanted to be like somebody else that could eat normally, and so therefore I'm not Humpty Dumpty. I can't go back together again. I'm smashed. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Janice Pam. What a great way to get us started. And we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please, if people could hit star one to mute, please. Too much background noise. If you could please check star one to mute. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Christina J.
Arizona.
Well,
Christina J.
Yes, anyone. Hold on. I heard Christina J.
Dawn B.
Haya P.
I think I heard Haya P.
Yep.
Faria C.
in California.
I think I heard Bruce E.
Dawn B.
Susan G.
I've
Lisa
got
N.
Dawn B. I've got, hold on, everyone. I've got Dawn B. I've got Susan G. I heard Bruce E. That's all I heard. Sorry, guys. You're all talking on top of each other.
Jason S.
I know this is difficult. Jason S. And Jason, where are you calling from?
Alberta, Canada.
Canada. Gotcha, Jason.
Luann C.
Maria T.
I've got Luann C. And Luann, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
Boise, Idaho.
Idaho. Gotcha. Okay.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
I've got you, Lisa N. in Georgia.
Thank you.
Maria C. California.
I think I heard Maria C. in California.
Yay. Jordan, thank you.
Michelle.
Jordan L. Michelle. I think I've got Jordan L. in Colorado. Was that Michelle coming in?
Yes,
Michelle.
Yeah, a Michelle WC in California.
Got you, Michelle. Okay.
Thank you.
Dana P.
Okay. Well, I think this is pretty much going to, we'll see how this goes. And Dana, where are you calling from? Dana P., where are you calling from?
Sorry, I'm in California.
You're in California. Got you.
Yeah. Thank you.
This might take us to the end, so I'm going to pause here.
Paragraph, please.
So I've got Chris. Just a moment, please. I've got Christina J, Haya P, Bruce E, Dawn B, Susan G, Jason S, Luann C, Lisa N, Maria C, Jordan L, Michelle W C, and Dana P. And we're on page. Where are we again? We're on page 30, second paragraph, beginning with we learned that we had to fully concede, ending with, or presently maybe has to be smashed. We just read that one paragraph. Okay, so we're going to start with Christina J, followed by Haya P. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, what a great lineup we've got. Should be loaded today. Christina J from Washington State. You know, what caused me to fully concede? What smashed this thing, this delusion in me that I could be like other people, that I could fight, that I could control? Because I went into the ring all of my life with everything. I took therapy into the fighting ring with me, the boxing ring. I took diets, pills, spiritual sojourns. I took journaling in my journal for years and years. I took crying out to God. I took it all in. I even took the big book in with me, and I fought and I fought and I fought, and I invited everyone to the show. And slowly over the years, one by one, those people disappeared because they saw me fail over and over. Slowly, more and more, I isolated deeper into the disease. And I would step back into the ring, and I would be beaten to a pulp, and I'd crawl out, and then I'd get back into the effing ring. What finally caused me to surrender and let go was laying on that boxing ring and crying out. And even at the end, after I cried out and I got abstinence from my red light foods, I began to crawl back into the ring with my abstinent foods and sugar-free foods. And I slowly crawled back into the ring with, I need to eat something and I'll just have this little bite or this little snack of my abstinent foods. And pretty soon, the pain of that became big. Can you believe it? The pain of that became big. The pain of the other got so bad, it was smashed into my bones. So I wasn't willing to go back to the red light foods. But I thought I could sneak around and go back to my other foods and say it was okay. But pretty soon I was able to crawl out of that ring. And today I have freedom, thank God, one day at a time. And the only thing that keeps me out of that ring is God and this 12 steps. I can't carry those into the ring with me because I can't fight in that ring. I can't fight in the ring. I've got to stay out of the ring of myself, that boxing ring. I don't need to go into that ring. And if I do go into it, you know, I don't really have a fighting chance because I'm surrendering again to my will. God's will is outside of that. He doesn't want me in that ring. So he keeps me out. And so it's a journey. It's been a long journey for me, long, long, long journey of having this thing smashed into my bones over and over and over and fully conceding. You know, I knew I could acknowledge, like the speaker read this morning, I could acknowledge it, but it wasn't in my bones. I didn't realize how deep this thing was. It ruled my life from the time I was a kid, and I spent eons trying to control it and fight it, but no more. The boxing ring is a painful, powerful place, and I don't belong in there. I belong outside in the world with my God and with you, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington State. Next, we've got Haya. Good morning, Haya.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P. very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic restrictor, in Colorado for the next 4 days, and then I will be in New Jersey. I want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're new to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting that we call A Vision for You, named after the chapter in the book. Really, there are so many miracles here, and, you know, as you've already heard, you know, we don't have to fight this anymore. So I hope you'll stay and take numbers and leave your number and grab on. You know, what I love about this is it's telling us here that I have to concede to my innermost self. Nobody can make that determination for me. Nobody can. which is why, you know, we say frothy emotional appeal doesn't suffice, because I have to know deep down inside. And that process is, I don't believe it's a one and done thing. I think there's layers. Life is a journey. Recovery is a journey. There is no delusion anymore for me. And, you know, the food and the manipulation of food and all of that will eventually hopefully beat us into a state of reasonableness. Isn't it fascinating that the solution is a spiritual, not religious, if anyone's new, don't worry about that. This is not a religious program. It's a spiritual one. So you just find that spirituality that works for you. But that is, you know, I use my metaphor of spiritual type 1 diabetes. You know, you're born that way. Pancreas just doesn't make the insulin. And for me, I have a spiritual type 1 diabetes. That is what I have conceded to my innermost self. That, and what has to be smashed is self. I have to, that it's only about me. And, you know, our solution is practicing these principles in all our affairs and helping others. And that requires me to get out of me. So practicing the principles at all, step 12 is the insulin. It's the spiritual insulin for me. And so I have to concede to my innermost self that if I'm going just wrapped up in me, then I'm all that matters. It's all that's important, and that it's all about me. You know, I'm not gonna have a chance with this. But to be able to grow and change and be able to be in a place where I can be of service to others, and is really quite extraordinary. I'm so grateful that the answer to my problem was not, you know, a shot or a pill, but a relationship with a power greater than myself and a relationship with all of you. And I'm just really grateful for that. And again, if you're new, I hope you will stay and join us on this journey. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Hiya, Pete. And I just want to remind everyone, if you shared on the vision meeting over the last couple of days, whether it's this meeting or the early meeting, please allow others, you know, the space to share today. So I'm actually going to go to Dawn B, followed by Susan G. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. So great to share this paragraph. Yeah, my personal experience is it took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent for any length of time. And you know, if I can be just an ominous warning to anyone who might be here, I was trying to continue just in that delusion that, you know, if I just have a little bit, if I just have it once in a while, okay, just on weekends, if I just have my alcoholic foods on weekends, then it's okay. And I just had to get to that point where the message, and people will ask me, what happened after 34 years? How is it that you got abstinent and are remaining abstinent now? And it's like I finally got that message to the core of my being that I am an addict. This will kill me. This is life or death. And if I accept fully that I am an addict, then a little bit of my addictive substances, a little bit of my heroin, a little bit of my crack cocaine, and for me that's my alcoholic foods, a little bit of that is not okay, and it will kill me. It would be as wise for me as stuffing my face full of rat poison. It has to be life or death for me. It absolutely has to be life or death, and I need to get that message to the core of my being, and I finally did. And God used that message to transform me and realize that I am hopeless. I am doomed. This will kill me. There is no other way out. And I need to clearly identify all of my alcoholic foods, their common ingredients, and I need to put those down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work this program like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. It absolutely does. And now, you know, 14 years later of abstaining, I'm down over 120-some pounds from my top weight. I'm at a slender, normal body weight. I'm abstaining and doing so happily, and I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Yes, are my circumstances still the same? Yes, they are. I'm a mother with children with autism. I have a husband on a feeding tube with declining health, but I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams, because that's the transformation that this program brings. And I am so grateful to God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And any idea that I can do it on my own has to be smashed. And thanks be to God. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. Next, we've got Susan G., followed by Jason S. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much, and job well done, girlfriend. That was a slew of people screaming out their names to you. And thank you, Janice, for getting us started, and for everybody else on Team Friday. Gosh, the shares have been so fabulous. I'm not sure what I have to add. You know, my process is, Dawn just said, she was here for a long time. I came to my first meeting in the 80s when I moved here, and it was in 1998. But I finally got scared. That was what happened. My weight kept on climbing, kept on going, and then the food stopped working. I just couldn't get enough. I couldn't get a hit. I couldn't get a high. And I kept on coming back to you on the days that I was miserable. So it really was a process for me to fully concede. And that's, you know, there's no surprise here how many pages are spent on step one, because I'm building my foundation in God's house. And once I've built this foundation, I can start to build my rooms. And then at the very end, in the relationship chapters, I can start to populate them. And, you know, yesterday we spoke about the countless vain attempts, and I had so many, and they never run out. They never run out. There's always something new, but God kept pushing me back here to all of you. Go back to those people. We know you don't want them to hug you. We know you don't want them to smile at you, but just keep going back. And from the back of the room, I would creep up to the last row in the meeting, because meetings were so big at that point. It took a long time to get to the front row. And one day it happened, that delusion, that lie, it was gone. It was smashed. It couldn't be fixed. And what are normal people? I have no idea. It doesn't matter. I had to stop going around and around trying to figure that out and just be in acceptance of, this is who I am. And this is the best of the best life to live for a person like me. And God never gave up on me. And if you're struggling today, God won't give up on you. And as we all say, you know, your miracle is closer than you think. And with that, I pass. And thank you again, Stephanie, for keeping us all in order this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Next, we've got Jason S., followed by Luann C. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Jason S., compulsive overeater from Lacombe, Alberta, Canada. Yeah, firstly, I'd like to say that in no way does my shared experience mean I know anything. And I think it directly ties into what the reading's about today. Like this book says, self-knowledge failed us. And I heard this morning on the early meeting, someone who I've known a long time say the old saying of having a head full of AA and a belly full of food, right? And, you know, I've been on Vision for a long time, or listening to Vision. I started a long time ago, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I got everything through osmosis and now I'm cured. You know, to think that way is not only delusional, it's just insane. And so, like, what does it really mean to concede? Like, you know, I remember when I first started in program, and my sponsor kind of told me to pick out certain words, you know, and I've always, when I've read this paragraph, always picked out the concede and the delusion. And, like, what is that anyways? Like, so conceding is, like, it's been my experience that, like, I don't just one day all of a sudden say to myself, oh, hey, I'm going to surrender today. Like it's been a process for me, right? And, you know, and for me, it deepens as time passes. It's my disease that makes me kind of resist or have that delusion that I can go on like people who don't have this. Maybe I've admitted it in the past, and like maybe in doing the work or going through the steps, but and I thought then I can turn on a dime and then like have the same insane thinking as when I started. And it's usually like if I'm disconnected from my higher power. And you know, like talking about delusion, like I think like what kind of false beliefs do I have? Or may presently have, you know, I remember hearing it said that way by an AA speaker that I listened to a long time ago. And like thinking, you know, if I have a certain weight or, you know, if I have a certain amount of time in program, then maybe I'd be good, right? And, you know, how does that show up presently in my life? And things change, and one day, you know, the obsession might not be there, and I think I'm cured, right? And real delusion is just that if I don't keep my foot on the gas, that somehow I'm going to stay where I'm at presently. It's like being on a hill in your car, right? And, you know, if you don't keep the gas pedal down, you'll roll back and you'll crash eventually, right? So anyways, I'm thankful to be back on the meeting after a long absence. And always seems like it takes something substantial to happen in my life in order for me to want to make a change. And that's okay, but I just don't want to end up waiting until it's too late. And maybe today will have to be the last time I have to say I'm starting over. Thanks, and that'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jason S. from Canada. Please keep coming back. Next, we've got Luann C., followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for leading us this morning, and happy Friday to everyone. I'm Luann C. I am really grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. This paragraph, I mean, it's such a privilege to share on it, as it's been so important to my recovery. I had to get to the point where I conceded to my innermost self, not just that I was powerless over the food, but that this thing was all over my life. Its tentacles reached into my relationships with money, with my relationships to the internet and what shows I watched on TV, and my relationships to people. I was self-centered and compulsive in all the areas of my life. And that vision of how it was everywhere was necessary because I'm a 40-pounder. And what that means is I have an extra layer of denial that sounds like, hey, it's not that bad. So I needed to see that the disease was a huge power greater than anything I had come up with. You know, I had to see the enormity of it. And that finally brought me to the moment of clarity that I conceded. I gave up. And because I had seen people recover, I had hoped that this would work. And so I was able to finally ask a God that I had never trusted to tell me what to do next. you know, my whole life has been dominated by this illness. I'm 73 and it's everywhere. I mean, my life was saturated with this drive towards death, really. It was always my attitude was like, can we just get this over with now and get to the conclusion, you know? But because of this program and relaxing into the process, a completely new set of conceptions have begun to dominate my consciousness. And I have a drive towards life now. And I love on page 63 where it says, more and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of its presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. And that has come true for me, and I hope it comes true for everyone on the line. And if you're new, just stay in the rooms because things will become clearer as you go along. So thank you for letting me pass. Thanks for letting me pass. All right,
We get it, Luann. Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. Next, we've got Lisa N., followed by Maria C. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Hey, this is Lisa N. So gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater in Georgia. Oh, my God. How funny, the beginning. I mean, like, I knew this paragraph was going to blow up. I'm so grateful to be able to share on it. I'm so grateful to be live with y'all. I'm going to echo, you know, obviously some things people said. The part about fully. So we had to fully. Yeah. So in the beginning, I mean, like when I first came into, this was my ominous warning, you know, like back in Bill's story, my ominous warning was my first food related 12-step program had a great food plan that, that eliminated a lot of my alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors. However, and here's the ominous warning, for me, they allowed artificial sweeteners. Artificial sweeteners for me is like injecting, whatever, heroin into my veins. It gives me that high. It gives me that soothing. It is a drug for me. So anyways, the ominous warning was they said, you might want to be careful with the artificial sweeteners as it's a problem for somebody. Oh my God. Well, you tell me that? Well, I'm going to run with it and I'm going to prove you wrong, which I tried to for 24 years. So anyways, that was the beginning. So the fully conceding for me, you know, for me, I mean, I'm coming up on 10 months of entire abstinence, man. I mean, life is freaking unbelievable. If this is still a pink cloud, great. I'm on it, you know, but the very beginning for me was fully conceding to my innermost self. Lisa, what are those things that are separating you from your higher power? And I knew it. I knew it all that time. And I kept fighting. And I was like, I'm going to make this work, damn it. You know, like, no, God, I gave you everything. I gave you alcohol. I gave you drugs. I gave you cigarettes. I gave you most of my alcoholic foods and grief behaviors. You're not taking this from me. I'm not giving it to you. And I'm going to make this work, damn it. Well, it didn't work. So anyways, when I fully conceded those things, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of life in between meals, a design for living that really works in rough going. A lot of times it's rough going. And it is, man, I wouldn't trade for the world. And I'm just so excited to be on the line with y'all, to be fighting over a spot. You know, I mean, how cool is that, right? Anyway, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Georgia. And if you just joined us or joined us late, let me remind you where we are. We're in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30. We read the second full paragraph beginning with, we learned that we had to fully concede, ending with, or presently maybe has to be smashed.
read that one paragraph, and that's what we're sharing on this morning. Next, we've got Maria C., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Hello. Can I be heard?
We can hear you, Maria. Yeah. Maria, we can hear you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
Yes, Stephanie, you can be heard.
I started to worry there. Oh, my goodness. So, Maria, see, we lost you. So we're going to, I'll come back to you. We're going to go to Jordan L. Good morning, Jordan. Jordan, if you'd like to share, press star one to unmute, please. I wonder if we're having multiple technical difficulties right now. I'm opening up again for Jordan L. or Maria C. to press star one to unmute. Okay.
This
we'll
is Maria. Can I be heard now?
Oh, we can hear you. We heard you before too, Maria. Go for it. You're good. We got you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Maria C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and 100-pounder in California. Thank you, Stephanie. My star one wasn't working for a second, so I'm really grateful for everybody on this meeting. So a paraphrasing of this paragraph lives in my head and runs through it at least once a day, and it's the delusion must be smashed. And that paraphrasing is just, it is the synopsis of step one in my mind. And so I use it in a couple ways practically in my life. The biggest one is working steps 10, 11, and 12. I remembered finally working steps 1 through 12, entirely abstinent, putting down all my substances and all of my the fake copies of substances. And as I was working step 10s and getting used to the joy and the freedom, I would see gossip. I would see strife between my coworkers. I'd see them get so mad at each other, yell at each other even, and then 2 weeks later, be fine with each other and not be stressed. And I remember just thinking, I would be a mess. You know, these coworkers could just act terribly. And did I want to act terribly? No. But I was reminding myself, you know, I don't have the luxury. As I get any resentment, any fear, anything in my life, I don't have the luxury. The delusion must be smashed, because if I don't give everything to God and follow his morals and his will for me, I will pick up. Like, it's not just, I need to eat on my committed weight and measured food plan. It's, I need to work steps 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Like, it's what being recovered means to me. Also, the big word that stands out to me, too, is just alcoholic. I avoided the big book for years because I didn't want to see the word alcoholic. And it took me seeing that if my substances were alcohol, I would be in the gutter, for me to also truly take step one as well. I love leaving the word alcoholic in there because I needed it. So thank you again, Stephanie, for your leadership today, and I pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Maria C. from California. And Jordan L., are you able to unmute? It seems like we're having some unmuting issues this morning. Okay. Well, we're going to move on then to Michelle W.C. Michelle, can you press star one to unmute and share with us?
Hi. Yes. Good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California. And I just love this meeting and how it always, the paragraph that we are reading is the one I exactly needed to hear and really contemplate on today. I I'm working step two right now, and it's been a lot. This past week has been really challenging for me with traveling with my daughter, coming back, my husband wanting to do things or wanting certain things done. Work has been just bonkers as well. And I just have felt like this feeling of being behind all week. And, you know, my disease has been telling me, like, oh, you know, you've been okay. Like, you got through Las Vegas. You got through all those temptations abstinently. And you're fine. Just, you know, you don't need to go to these meetings. You don't need to do this. And plus, you've got all these other things going on this weekend. You should just skip these things. And maybe you should consider dropping out. And it is so funny how my disease is talking to me, and that I have to keep telling it and then keep fully conceding that, like, no, you've tried this. You've tried every other way. You've tried a lighter version of things, and you weren't able to stay abstinent. You weren't able to stay connected with God. And I have to keep fully conceding to myself and perhaps doing steps 1, 2, and 3 every morning, just because I'm still that voice in my head is still quite strong saying, you know, you're okay. And maybe there's a different way. And I don't think there's a different way, because I've sure tried a couple of different ways and I did not have success with those. So thank you again for this paragraph and everyone for your shares. You just really moved me this morning, and I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle WC in California. And I just wanted to come back and see if Jordan L. was there and wanted to still share. We have 2 minutes.
Hey, Stephanie, can you hear me?
Jordan. We can hear you. Go for it. You got
okay.
It. Please.
Okay. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting. This is a really important paragraph. I think a lot of people, I've worked with a lot of compulsive overeaters and had, it took time in the beginning for myself as well to really fully concede to my innermost self. And working with other compulsive overeaters, I see the same thing in some of my sponsees. Well, pretty much all of my sponsees, that it takes time to fully concede. It's not something that we want to do, but it's really important. And I think that's what the rest of this chapter is designed to do. It's designed to help us address any of those lurking reservations that we might have. In order to be able to take a first step and really step into recovery. And sometimes it requires coming back to a first step over and over again as well. I have found that over the years that if I get tripped up in my recovery, where I'm like unwilling to do something that needs to be done or unwilling to do something new, it's okay to come back to the first step. It's okay to do this over and over and over again. I was thinking yesterday as I was listening to the meeting about that sentence, the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. I think my great obsession, once I've been here for a while and I've gotten some recovery from the food, my great obsession becomes to, I'll wrap up, to control and enjoy life. And so I really have to come back to this first step, steps 1, 2, and 3, over and over and over again. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much, Jordan L. in Colorado. And sorry, Dana P., we're not going to be able to get to you this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Robin B., will you please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Thank you. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater living in recovery one day at a time. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.